What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Knowledge Heights podcast. As always, we appreciate you guys and keep striving. To my left, as always, our co-host, Omar Diaz. What's up? And to my left, very special guest. Now I'm going to let him introduce himself right now.
Welcome I'm Zeke Lopez, Bulldog Boxing Gym.
Awesome, Zeke. Thank you, Coach, for first of all, for your You're time welcome. And then for allowing us to be here in your gym and just get to know you a little bit more. And I know we talked a little bit behind cameras, a little bit about your story and put into context as to why you do what you do, right?
Right.
So can we kind of, you know, set that stage so we know who you are and why you do your Bulldog Boxing and your purpose?
Well, first of all, why I do it is for the kids in the community. You know, like I said, I try to help all the kids and try to have somewhere they can come to that's safe, a safe haven for them to come in and be able to, work out and meet other kids and stay away from all the street stuff that's going on and stuff like that. I started this 27 years ago with the purpose of helping the community. I myself was in trouble and did things, you know, and I boxed or whatever, but I ended up in trouble and I didn't really want to do it. I didn't want anything to do with boxing, but I, with my wife behind me, and she talked me into it, and I started doing it. And so now my whole thing was, and is still, for the kids in the community. I don't help just one kid. I help a lot of kids. That's my thing, is to try to get everybody, and the more kids that we can get in here, the better, you know, because they don't need to be out in the streets. They don't need to be out there drinking and doing drugs and being running around with the gangs and getting in trouble, you know. There's a lot of knowledge, a lot of good kids out here, you know, and they have to realize that there is a place for them to go and there is something better than getting in trouble and doing drugs.
Definitely. So,
yeah.
No, definitely, Coach. And do you see, like, when kids come in here, are they usually more interested in the fact that they want to fight and box, or are they asking for help?
Well, it's a little of both. It's a little of both. You get kids that come in here, a lot of the kids have been picked on. And they've been picked on. They don't say it right offhand, but I could talk to them. And when I do talk to them, then I get the sense, and they're telling me, you know, well, I'm being bullied, or this is happening. Or I have parents that come in and say, well, my kid's being bullied. So I try to teach them, you know, how to defend themselves, but not to be a bully themselves. A lot of kids, like I said earlier, a lot of kids come through that door. They want to be the world champion. They want to be the world. Everybody's, oh, I'm going to be a world champion. But there's a lot of hard work to it. But I try to steer them more towards school, because you have to have an education. If not, it's going to be a hard thing to go through in life, you know, without an education. And there's something to fall back on. Yeah, you know, follow your dream, chase it, go after it. But remember, there's not always everybody makes it, so you have to have something to fall back on. Always.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's great to know, and I appreciate you, like, explaining how you started off. So you said 27 years doing this, right?
Yes.
Is there anything, like, I know you mentioned that you start training out of your garage first, right?
Right, right.
Because your wife was the one that kind of, like, triggered that. Can you actually talk a little bit about that?
I had a kid that was coming to my house, and he had heard from my brother, my youngest brother, that I boxed and stuff like that, and he wanted to learn how to box. And so he came to my, just about every day, knocking on my door, and I didn't want nothing to do with it, because I ruined myself in boxing. You know, I blew it for myself, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. Yeah, I worked out and I did my own thing, you know, and I still love the sport, but I just didn't want anybody to know that I ruined it for myself. So I didn't want anybody around me that had to do with that. So he kept coming, and I kept slamming the door. I kept telling him to get the hell away from me. Excuse my language. I tell him to get away from me.
No, go for it.
Get away from me, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. I even called my brother and told him off, and I said, don't be sending people over here. I don't like that. And one day he came, and I closed, slammed the door on him, and my wife looked at me, and she laughed, and she said, "So you know, he's just reaching out for you. You know, he wants help. He's reaching out." And I said, "I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it." She said, "Well, how are you going to feel if this kid one day is out in the street, right, they're dead, and they found him dead because you didn't help him? Excuse me. You didn't help him because he's crying for help." Well, that made me realize that, you know, that's what my purpose is, to try to, that's why that kid was coming to the door every day.
Definitely.
For me to get out there and do something with it.
Definitely.
So that's why I told the kid, I said, you know what, I'll train you. And then he came over the next day, and I said, wait, I'll talk to him. I said, I'll train you, but no drugs, no gangs, no alcohol, all that stays out of here. Otherwise, you're gone. I won't train you.
Definitely.
So he agreed with it, and that's where I started. After that, I ended up with 20, 30 kids in my garage and started training, and it went off.
Definitely.
You know, and it was great. It's been great since. You know,
of course.
Like I said, the kids, without a good community, you have nothing. And if you have terrible kids in your community, they're going to grow up to be terrible adults. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to have? You're going to have a terrible community, and we don't need that.
Definitely.
That's my goal. You know, that's my thing. Yeah, my purpose for this whole thing. Yes.
So yeah. I actually want to ask you, Coach. 27 years ago, when that kid came in that garage asking for help, your wife was telling you this, and it triggered it. Do you remember what you felt at the exact moment? Like what actually, like you know what?
Oh yeah.
You're right.
Oh yeah. No, she was right, and can I say it? It made me feel kind of. I wish somebody would have been there, excuse me, for me when I was in my time of need.
Yeah, of course.
You know, excuse me. Helping me.
Definitely.
You know? So I think that.
I don't know. Take your time, Coach. Take your time. I mean, like I said, talk about.
Well, I'm sorry. First of all, sorry about that.
No, of course.
That's something that I was trying to tell you earlier. Like I told you earlier, things hit home. So, like I said, if I had somebody to come and tell me things that I tell them, the kids, I wouldn't be in this in certain positions. And it hits deep because you know, I grew up on the streets. You know, my father wasn't really there, and I grew up, you know, in the streets, going through a lot of stuff. Boxing saved my life. So I think that he came to my door for a reason, and everything happens for a reason. That's what I believe. And I think that he came to the door for a reason, to help me as much as I could help everybody else.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that in fact, the way I felt and I thought about it, I think about it. At the time, I didn't think about it. Now, as I was going through my training with the kids, I started thinking about it and going through it and saying, you know what? These kids are helping me just as much as I'm helping them. Because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to go from the top, being on top, and then falling directly down like you're plummeting from nowhere just to hit rock bottom,
mm-hmm.
and then try to pick yourself back up. Well, it's hard.
Definitely.
So and there's a lot behind it, everything that I go through that I help the kids with. Because I've seen a lot of the kids go through things that I've been through,
mm-hmm.
and like I said, that's what hits at home.
You relate to the kids.
I relate to them a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people that come and say, oh, they need psychiatry. No, they need somebody to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
They need somebody to talk to. A lot of people, they could talk to a psychiatrist. You tell me how many people that go to school, got an education in psychology, have been through what they've been through. Have been on the streets, have been through the drugs, have been through all that. No, they've read books and they've been to college. Okay, so you got a degree, but you don't have the experience they have. So how can you talk to them kids? See, that's where how I feel that I can relate to them, because I've been through that kind of stuff.
Of course.
So
you understand them
in a lot of ways.
Empathy
in a lot of ways. Yeah, in a lot of ways. Deep down inside, and I help them with that. And they come to me and we talk and I explain. You know, and it's all good, just like this. And and I apologize for it really going down like that, but I mean it was just excuse me, something that really hit.
And
but to answer your question earlier, that's how I felt. I felt. First, I felt like, what am I really doing it for? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it, and I said, well, yeah, he's asking for help, so let me give him some help.
Definitely.
And then I started finding the reason why later on. So I felt all right.
So now, looking back at it, would you consider it a blessing in disguise to find your purpose?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. A lot of people go through life without knowing what their purpose in life is, you know. They never really find it, and then they end up dead. I thank God that I didn't, and I thank my wife, you know, so otherwise I probably wouldn't have all this, and probably wouldn't have reached the hundreds of kids that I did in this community, you know. I have a lot of kids that did very, very good and went to school or become police officers and whatever, you know, and have their own businesses and did very, very good, teachers and the whole works. And then I have some other ones that are writing me from prison, telling me, You were right.
Wow.
You know, but you have to go with the good and the bad. I mean, either way, whether they're kids that were bad and just had the wrong people around them and didn't know how to deal with it because they didn't have anybody else to talk to, you know, they're human. They're still kids. They're still people, you know, and we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. How we deal with our mistakes is what really counts. See? Mm-hmm. So, I thank God that now that the kid did come to my house, because that started me on a new journey in my life to realize what my purpose is. And that's what it is. This is my purpose. So,
just to touch on that subject, I want to actually thank you too publicly right here on the show, because, you know, I came to your gym for 2 years.
Yeah, you did.
And believe it or not, like you said, at the moment, at the time, you might have not known it, but I was going through the same thing that you were going through. I needed that guidance, because even though I had a dad and mother figure, they were always working.
Yeah.
So you were that role model as an adult. Damn. And you probably didn't even know it at the time. But now, look at the fruit.
Exactly.
You know, I'm very successful, thank God.
Thank God.
And but you were one of the persons that paved that way.
Oh, I see. Wow. Oh, man.
For
thank
where
you.
I'm at now.
You thank know? You very much.
You know? Wow. Yeah. This is great, man. So great. Just now get in on that. So fast forward, you started getting a couple people in your gym at your garage.
Yeah, I had a lot of kids in my garage. It was funny because the mayor, who was Ken Durant at the time, came to my house, and then the chief of police. Right now I really can't. I got something here, a certificate from him, but he came to my house, and I thought I was in trouble. I said, "Oh shoot, I'm in trouble, man. I got too many kids out here. They're wondering what the heck am I doing?" And, you know, the first thing that popped into my head was, "Man, they may think I'm getting some kind of a gang going or something."
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck's going on. So they came to my house and we talked, and he said, "Well, you know, somebody, one of the kids has told us, you know, and another person, you got a lot of kids. What you're doing?" I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm trying to work with these kids, trying to keep them off the streets, trying to do this and that." And Ken Duran, the mayor, he said, "Let me get you a building instead of doing it out of your garage." So I said, "Wow, man, really?" He said, "Yeah, I'll get you a building." So we worked with Robert Rodriguez, who helped us out, and we started off in his place, and we had a building for us, and he helped us out for, I think, 4 years. And then after the 4 years, we went down on 4th Street. There used to be an old building there. Oh, you remember that, on that side. And we continued there because of Ken Duran. And then as soon as they were tearing that down to put the apartments they have up now, he brought me to this place. And I've been here for over, I think, 20 years already.
Oh, wow.
In here. So it's been good. It's been really good. The city's helped me a little bit, you know, and I appreciate it. And the San Manuel County Foundation, they've helped us out a lot. So I've been blessed with a lot of stuff, you know. I've had a lot of little. The thing that really gets to me about help is why the big companies can't help little things like this, and it's always the little guys, like your barbershop, you know, like the Lock, Stock, and Barrel that was there. We got Brent Redman's company out there, the trucking, Elvita Robinson, the lawyers, Arcantu, little businesses that helped us out a lot. That put it all together to help me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be doing it. And I tried. A lot of people said, "You're going to fail. You're going to fail because nobody cares." I said, "I care.
Yeah.
I care. And whether nobody cares doesn't make a difference. I care. So I'm going to do what I can. And if people don't like it, fine." A lot of people came out when I first started and said, "Oh, it's a front. You know, he just got out of, you know, his vacation or whatever you want to call it. And it's a front. Oh, he's trying to make himself look good." I didn't care. I had so much bad people just trying to push me down into the hole, and I said I didn't care what people thought. I said, "I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing now. I've already started. There's no going back."
Mm-hmm.
So I pushed and I pushed and I went through a lot.
Was there ever a point, because I like what you just said right now, you didn't care what other people were saying because you were the one that cared,
right?
Because you care so much about this gym, the not so much the gym itself, but the purpose you're trying to do,
right? Exactly.
Was there ever a point where you're like, "You know what, I'm just going to fuck it, screw it,
I'm gonna
quit"?
Yes, quite a bit of times.
Yeah.
There was sometimes I'd be home and I'd say, "This is too much, man, I can't deal it, I can't do it, I can't." But again, with my wife and other people, support system, oh man, that you need that. I sat back and said, I'm done. But what about all the kids that you just brought into the gym? What are they going to do? Mm-hmm. there she is again. You know? So those for those reasons, the kids is what kept me going all this time. It's been for the kids. It's not for me. A lot of people say, Zeke, man, you got a lot of kids. Why don't you charge? Charge for what? To make money. Care about the money? It's not the money that's making me. It's these kids. It's the community. They. It's the support I get from them and the kids. Look, I had somebody ask me, he said, if you don't make money from the kids, what do you get out of it? Well, when I take these kids to boxing shows, the hard work they put into it, the dedication, all that they put into all this, and I help them through this, when you see that kid come off that ring with a trophy in his hand, with the biggest smile on his face, man,
that's
better than money.
Yeah.
To me, that's way better than money. Mm-hmm. You can't pay for that. Mm-hmm. Reach into your pocket and try to pay for it. You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. So that's my payment. That's how I feel I get. That's how I feel that my reward is when I see the smile on them. Oh my God! And the parents are so happy because their kids did something, and they thank me for it. Hey, no, thank. That's great, but that's my reward. In other words, that's my reward.
That's what fulfills you.
That's what fulfills me, and that's what keeps me coming here all the time. There's sometimes I'm home and I'm like, man, I just don't want it. But the time I get in here, man, with everybody, the kids that make me laugh and make me smile, and it's a totally different feeling, you know, and it makes my life. That's what makes it. I think that if I didn't have the gym, I don't know where I'd be. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Seriously. Besides from helping kids and get them off the streets, and the reward you get out of it, your love towards boxing, how is that?
Oh man. like I said, boxing saved my life. It did. I think that if it wasn't for boxing, again, I don't know where I'd be. I may not even be here, you know. So, I love boxing. I love the sport. It's a sport where you can't blame anybody else if you get in this ring and lose. You can't blame anybody else if you fail because this is you. Sure, you got a coach, and the coach has to coach you, but you have to do what he tells you to. That's why he's the coach. That's why he's sitting out there, and you're taking care of it. It's a one-on-one with somebody else, and if you don't do it, you fail. Okay, that's you. So I love the sport that way because it really tests the inside and your power and a lot of how can I say it? How you could not only advance yourself in boxing but in your life, because not only do you have to be good in the ring, but you have to be good out there in everything you do, and you have to work hard for what you want. It's not going to be given to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody's not going to come around and say, oh, here you go. You can have this life. It's not going to be that way. You've got to work at it. And same with boxing. And that's why I love the sport so much, because you have to dedicate a lot to it, because it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everybody would do it. You know. So yeah. That's why I really love the sport.
It's
know?
More than just it's fighting.
Exactly. It's more than just boxing. You know, a lot more. You know, I tell a lot of the kids that come through, oh, I want to be. They say they want to be a world champion. Well, you can be a world champion, but it's not just being a world champion in the ring, because you got to go outside and be a world champion. You got to deal with the community. You got to deal with people nagging and picking at you, trying to make your life worse because they don't like what you're doing, because you're succeeding. See, I'm not good. You're real good. I'm jealous. I want what you want, but I can't have it because I don't want to work hard. So I'm going to ruin your life. Yeah. Things like that happen all the time. See, so you have to learn how to deal with that, and this helps you in a lot of ways, you know, learning how to deal with people because you're working with other kids and everybody. And one thing I do is with the older kids, I have them work with the little kids because they can get to understand the frustrations that I go through sometimes, you know, because they tell me, how do you deal with it? Well, patience, you have to deal with it. Kids are kids, you know. Sometimes, yeah, trust me, I'm like, oh, what am I doing here? But that's why I work with a lot of the older kids and have them work with the little kids too, so they can understand what it's about.
That's what I wanted to ask next is that with the kids, what kind of culture are you building? Obviously, I can tell what culture you're building because you're teaching them more than the ring, right? You're teaching them more how to actually battle outside.
Right.
The criticism, the hate. Mm-hmm. Now,
the pressures.
Do you?
Yeah.
Definitely. Do kids come in here and actually really feel that and go out there and you see them and, like, you know, their mentality changes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had a lot of kids that come in and they're down on themselves. They're worthless to them. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I hate this or I hate that. What do you? How can you tell? You're barely starting life out. There's a lot of pressure out there as a teenager. There's a lot of pressure. You got peer pressure from your friends. If you don't smoke weed, you're a punk, you're this, you're that. If you don't get drunk, you're this, you're that. And a lot of these kids that don't have that, I don't want to say the backbone or whatever, but that...
The grit to really
stand up and say, I don't need this. You know,
thick skin.
Yeah, that. Yeah, and yeah. Say, and they don't know how to deal with it with other kids. Because, you know, they just don't have that know-how or whatever, or that heart. Maybe they've been pushed around a lot, so now they want to belong to someone. And the only way they can is by going through with all these kids that do drugs, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is now my family. Well, they come in here, and I explain to them what it's about, and that they can say no and stay away from that kind of crap. They can come here and do all the hitting the bags, and this is going to be their drug. This is their drug, mm-hmm. you know, instead of out there and dying on the street. It's not worth it, you know. Yeah, so.
I mean, I feel like you have a big responsibility, but that's what keeps you going, your feel.
Yeah.
Because I like the fact that it's not so much about fighting. It's a lot more about mentality.
Yeah.
Do you feel that boxing is more mentality than actually, like...
Physical?
Well,
in a way, yeah. you have to be straight in your mind a lot of ways. You can't just come in and train. Well, you can come in and train... Even if you're high, a lot of people do. I'm sure they do somewhere else, but they don't do it. But anyways, but it's not the same. You can't. I will not let anybody in this ring if they have a headache or anything like that because your mind's not straight.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping your mind straight and thinking in here has a lot to do with the boxing. Yeah, sure, you're in good condition, but let me tell you, I've had guys come in the door that work out. I mean, that's their thing. They work out. And they come in here and they want to spar, and they want to come in here with somebody to spar. And I ask them, have you ever boxed before? No, but I'm in good shape. I mean, up here you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you talking about? Well, because here's the thing that happens. And a lot of people and this is what I don't understand sometimes about coaches that have never boxed. And they go out and say, well, I'm the best coach in the world. But you never boxed before. You don't know what that kid feels like before he's getting in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what that kid's feeling like the night before he knows he's going to get in the ring. Okay, and you don't know what he feels like after he's left the ring when he lost or when he won. You don't know that. So as a coach, how can you teach that to a kid if you don't know that feeling? That's very hard. So the guys would come in, and I know it plays a lot in your mind with the adrenaline, because as soon as before you get into that ring, your adrenaline's pumping. Okay, that knocks you down.
Oh, wow.
Mentality, because you're thinking, I'm going to get hit. And what if I get hit and it hurts? That brings you down. Okay, so when you get inside the ring and that bell rings and you got someone coming across after you and throwing punches at you and hitting you, you're breathing hard, your adrenaline's up, your mind's going like this, you don't know what you're doing, you can't think. Yeah, you're in great shape, but you just lost the whole thing to somebody that just is going pop, pop, pop. That's it, because he knows in his mind what he's doing, and this guy doesn't know what he's doing, because he doesn't know how to deal with the adrenaline before he gets in. What's going to happen when he's in, because nobody's taught him the right way. You see what I'm saying? So it's hard to do. So, yeah, it's a lot of mindset, yeah, and a lot of conditioning.
That's a new perspective to me, because I've always believed that. I mean, I've been a soccer player,
mm-hmm.
and I've had that anxiety before a game and that adrenaline. And I thought that was like the factor, the X factor, like, do you have to have that adrenaline to go? And I look back in hindsight, and I notice how it did affect my gameplay. And what you just said right now was very new to me, where the adrenaline will actually just like
hold you down.
Because definitely. I thought, you know, from a perspective as just someone that likes watching boxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, these guys look good. They're pumped. That's the X factor. But then I started noticing a little bit, it's more in here.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, you could look good. You could feel confident. I'm not saying, I know you probably still believe in the confidence, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, you have to be confident.
But I like that, the adrenaline part. And that's what you're teaching your kids?
Right, exactly. Because they have to know, a lot of the kids are, they might be scared to get in the ring. And I say, well, you get in there, and that's why I'm on the outside telling you, move this way, do this, do that, don't worry about it. And we work at that. You work at that. It takes a lot to work at, to understand how to control it. And if anybody says they're never nervous, boxers or whatever, when you go into a game or you go into boxer, they're full of, you know what, because every single time I fought the night before and that day, I was nervous, because a lot of things plays through your mind, a lot. You don't know what's going to happen. Sure, you're confident. I'm gonna do it. But things still click in your mind, you know. And so that plays a lot.
No, I like that you're teaching the youth and everyone that comes in this gym that mentality part. Because like you said, it's more than just talking to a psychiatrist. I want to go back to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you actually, like you said, they just need someone to talk to, you know, to understand them.
Let me touch on something. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, coach.
Not only does this help you in the boxing, mm-hmm. because your adrenaline's pumping and everything else, mm-hmm. it's like something you said earlier. When you first started doing this, you were nervous, mm-hmm. and your adrenaline's here. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing out in life.
Yeah, exactly.
You go to a job interview, on a job, you can mess up in a job and you can ruin the whole thing, and the boss is gonna come up. So you're wondering, am I gonna do this right? So all this plays a good factor out there. You see what I'm saying? On the kids growing up, because now they know how to deal with it. Okay, well, I gotta relax and just go through it and I'll figure it out. You see what I'm saying? So that was something else.
That's very true, because there's too many parallels in life, meaning wherever you're doing, whether it's any sport, any business venture, any endeavor, any hobby, there's something that you could take from that and apply it to your daily life. I've talked to Omar about this. I've talked to my team about this, that there's just this thing that you could just grab and use it.
Right.
And it's called knowledge, because you apply it wherever you go.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you're teaching them, the youngsters that are willing to come in here and actually be like, I want to change. Because I bet, I want to ask you this, when you get a new kid in here, it takes a lot for them to actually come in here to look for you.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So, obviously, that's like the first transaction, the first interaction. You open the doors to them. However, what about the second chances? Let's suppose they screw up. Do you allow them back in? Do you talk to them? How do you assess that? Well, because I feel that life... Sorry, mm-hmm. before you answer, mm-hmm. because like you said, a lot of these things apply to life. Obviously, not a lot mm-hmm. of things will give you that second chance, because life isn't fair like that.
That's right.
But what are you trying to teach... And what's your approach on like the whole second chance thing? Like, you screwed up once, but you know the doors are still open here.
Yeah, well, it goes back to it depends on what they're doing. And again, every kid, like I said, they're kids, so they have to have somebody there, like I said, to teach them. Because a lot of times, like you were saying earlier, that your parents are working and you're running around your friends, and your friends aren't really giving you that experience, because they don't know either. So it depends on what the thing is. Some kids come in and maybe they're doing a little drugs, or maybe they're having problems at home and their parents aren't. I mean, no, there's a lot of different things. So it just depends on the thing, the reason why they're in. And they come in, and a lot of times they will mess up. Like, I've gotten kids come in here and they're high. Hey, coach, how's it going? Well, all right. Hey, man, you're high. No, I'm not. Don't insult my intelligence, man. You know, I've done drugs. I've been there. I know what it looks like. I know what it's like. Don't insult my intelligence. Yeah, but leave and come back when you're sober, man. That's it. Come back when you're sober, and we'll talk about it. They'll come back, and we talk. All right, you know, you can't be that way in here. You shouldn't be that way out there, because you're a young kid. First of all, you're ruining your brain. I mean, what are you going to have left when you get old enough to have a good job? Mm-hmm. Nothing. What kind of education are you going to have to get a good job if your brain's ruined like that? Nothing. So those are things, you know, that I talk to them about. Sometimes kids come in and they're, oh, my dad this or my mom this. Well, you know what? They're your parents, man, and maybe they're doing it for a reason. You know, what are you doing wrong? What do you mean, what am I doing? Well, you're doing something wrong, because your parents aren't just going to yell at you for nothing. You know, it's just like a lot of kids that have come in, oh, the cops are chasing me. Oh, why are they chasing you? I don't know. Come on, man. They're not going to chase you for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all like that, you know, that type of.
Now, in the last 27 years, coach, teaching these kids, obviously, has it taught you something?
Oh, yeah.
Are you learning every day?
Every single day. Yeah. You know, not all the kids are the same. Mm-hmm. Every kid that comes through that door is different. They're all different. Hundreds of kids are all different. And it's taught me how to deal with a lot of different kids and situations, you know. Some situations that I didn't get into, you know, and I really hate to put it on but there's some situations that some kids have been through that I never dealt with, or it never happened to me, and it's hard for me to try to help them with. But that's when I'll ask somebody else, and you know, because I have a lot of other people, friends that have been through different things, and I'll bring them in and talk to them. He's been through this, or this is going through his life, and I've never been through that, so I don't know how to deal with it. know. And so I would sit around with them and we'll talk and figure it out. And you know, that it just, I it's just hard to I can't take care of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so.
No, it's good. I like that you say that, because even though your purpose is to help as many kids as possible, mm-hmm. you know how to address each individual,
right.
whether, and you have the, you don't have the ego to say that, you know what, I understand what you're saying, even though you don't. Because
yeah.
like you say, yeah. you have kids coming in here, you can't imagine what they've been through because you've never experienced
yeah,
it.
Right.
So you use your network, like, hey man, you maybe you could work with this kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's the whole thing, that, and going back to coaching, A lot of coaches that idiots, actually, is what I'm saying. They build this gym, this beautiful gym, and they got this beautiful gym, and they know nothing about boxing, and they throw a towel over their shoulder, and they're a coach. How can you do that if you don't even, you've never been in there to experience it again? You know, you don't, but that's what, you learn as you go by it. Okay, that's fine. You know, and that's good and dandy, but Don't ruin the kids. If you can't help this kid, find somebody else, you know, to help you and help them, you know, teach you, you know. So there's a lot of guys out there that just worry about money. They build a business. They're trying to build a business in this sport. And a lot of guys, they might, but a lot of guys fail because they don't understand the whole thing. And a lot of kids leave because they could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can see it. They're not, I mean, a lot of kids, they're not dumb. You know, you when you're young, you see things, and you know what, a lot of kids will sit back and they might say there something, or they won't say anything, and they're watching what's going on. And I see it all the time with the kids. What's the coach thinking? What's he doing? Why are we, you know? So if you don't know what you're doing, you know, they'll see it, you know. And you can't help just one kid. That's one thing that I get all the time. If I bring my kid in here, are you going to be able to work with him? Of course. I work with everybody in here. I try to work with everybody. I don't care if I have 20 or 30 kids in here. I try to work with everybody. If I can't, then I get some other kid that has more knowledge. Okay, you work with him and you work with him, and we'll get all these kids worked with, and it's all good. So everybody works out, or we all work out together.
Yeah.
See? So that's what, you know, with me is I don't see how people can sit there and have that ego trip. And say, I can do it all. You can't. I can't. I couldn't. And I know I can't. So it takes a big man to sit back and say, hey,
definitely.
You know what? I got to help this kid, but how am I going to do it?
No, definitely.
You see?
That ego, because you could, I mean, like you said, what you just explained, you could help everyone and say you can do it, but knowing it well what your strengths are and what your weaknesses
mm-hmm.
are, and taking accountability for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, and the only thing, and the bad thing about it is that if you don't know what you're doing, the kids are going to suffer for it. And that's one thing that I just can't. When it comes to the kids, I get real offensive, real, real offensive. I don't like the kids being treated bad or things like that, you know. So I that's just me. Yeah.
Now, Coach, when this suppose, because I know in everyday life there could be things before you step in this gym, like you said earlier, you might not be feeling it. You come in here and you get that feel. Is there ever a bad day where the kids notice it, where the people you're training with notice it, and they're like, hey, Coach, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk. Let's meet. Like, where they're coming to you to talk, like, hey, Coach, you could talk to me.
Yeah, I've had a couple of guys.
Yeah?
A couple of guys. Yeah, but again,
do you feel like that's what something you taught them to? Feel comfortable in the sense of, like, hey,
you know, I never thought of it that way.
No,
I never thought of it that way. Coach, you brought it up. I never thought of it that way. But, yeah, maybe. But the thing, again, is, I mean, there's been a lot of times when I come in and I've went through it. I had a bad day or things have just played through my mind that just brought me down or whatever it may be or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is. But I'll come to the gym and I'll come a little early. I'll sit out there and I'll read the Bible or just think, you know. And I've had some of the guys that come and say, hey, you know, you're all right, man. Yeah, no, I'm all right. And I lie because I don't want to get them into, you know, what I'm doing, what's going on. I say, no, I'm all right, I'm fine. But they can see it. And, well, you know, if you need someone to talk to, say, yeah. But the things, I'm not without getting into anything else, I just don't burden them with the problems that I have because I think they have enough on their own.
Mm.
And so I try to, then there's where the stuff comes in where you want to just try to do it on your own. And I try for myself, you know, for my own self, but not for the kids. But when I get here, like I said earlier, when I get here and the kids are here, it just, it picks me up. It gets me out of that. It gets me out of that. And there's sometimes I'll come in, man, I'm not in a good mood. Everybody, let's go. But before you know it, we got certain kids in here that are making little noises and this and that and doing it, and it just, it's different. And then it just gets me out of it.
Definitely.
It makes me feel good. So that's why I'm saying it. I'm glad that I come in here just, and it makes me feel different.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Anything you want to add, Omar?
No, just, I mean, not closing up, but a message, you know? Anybody listening to this, watching this?
Stay in school. Stay in school. Stay in school and get a good education. Because boxing is going to be here forever. Okay, regardless of what people say about MMA and the whole works, boxing is going to be here forever. So get a good education, find yourself a good job, and do something positive. Always something positive. Boxing is great. Stick with it if you want. If you want to do a career out of it, but have something to fall back on. Always have something to fall back on. It. You don't know how many times in professional boxing that these professional boxers, myself included, got out there, was going to school, and thought, I'm going to be a professional boxer and make millions of dollars and be rich for the rest of my life. It doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. It's hard. Mm-hmm. So if I had something and stayed in school and fell back on, who knows what I would have been. Yeah. So stay in school and get a good education. Stay away from drugs. Definitely stay away from drugs. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that, Coach. I've learned a lot today. Like I said, usually, you know, Omar always says, dude, I'm just soaking it up. I soaked up a lot. Yeah. And there's, like I said earlier, there's new perspectives I've seen and learned from that. And that's another purpose of this podcast, because I don't know, I can't imagine what you've gone through, because you have a different path, right, in this life.
Oh, yeah.
We all have this life, right, but we're all on a different path. But that doesn't mean I can't learn from you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, and I like to share, because someone else, Omar always says that someone else is going to watch this and hear this. And at least one person might take something about what you said. And you know what? They triggered that. The same trigger point you had when your wife told you, they're going to have that when you say something.
Exactly.
So that's another purpose, because I like to share that.
That's good.
Once again, Coach, I do appreciate your time. I appreciate you guys, you inviting us to your gym.
I appreciate you guys coming.
And I appreciate you being open.
Just want to explain something. The earlier when I kind of broke down, like I said, I had a rough life. A very, very rough life. 8 kids in a family, just mom around. Dad was hardly ever around. Older brother raising us. It hit a spot where it was somewhere I've been, and I didn't like it. So the feeling I had when that kid came, like I was saying earlier, I'm trying to explain but I couldn't, was that I didn't like where this kid was headed, because I've been there, and I felt it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that always triggers a little something in my past. A lot of people have dark pasts that they don't let out, and it's hard, because those are the things that lead a lot of young kids to. Even if you're being bullied or molested or whatever it may be in your life, you have to say something, because otherwise you're going to be stuck somewhere. Anxiety, depression, all that is not, it's all real. It's bad.
Definitely.
You know, so
I agree.
Hopefully somebody out there is listening and saying, hey, you know what? I got to talk to somebody. Talk to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, talk to somebody. Even if somebody, just talk to somebody. If you guys have a problem, you want to come by, talk to me, talk to me. Come by and see me. It's one thing I hate, and I've had a lot of kids die in front of this gym for a lot of things, you know. Shot, stab, drugs. I got pictures up here, a lot of kids that have passed away here. Wow. And a lot of ways, different ways that I wish I could have saved, but I'm not Superman.
Yeah.
I can't save everybody.
Yeah.
So I try, but I can't. And I know I can.
Definitely.
So just hopefully, if you're out there and you're listening, and talk to somebody. Talk to somebody.
I appreciate you sharing that, Coach. Yeah. That's very powerful and it's very true.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. So,
and thank you guys again.
Thank you, Coach. Very much. I appreciate it. Won't be the last time.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
won't
you.
Be the last
thank
time.
You.
So,
thank Coach, you. For everybody that's listening, can you just say how to get here, where you're located?
We're on the corner of Gibbs and McRae. On the corner of Gibbs and McRae, across from Rancho. It's that old building that looks in the, that everybody says there's nothing inside. And is it closed down? No, we're very, very functional.
Schedule.
yeah. Something I want to say, because I've heard, I'm sorry, I've heard a lot of people say, well, it's an old raggedy gym, and it's an old gym, and it's a rag. It's not where you train. It's how you train, okay? So if you're in a raggedy old garage and you got a very good trainer, stick with it. If you're in a beautiful gym and it looks beautiful and you can't get nobody to work with you, there's something wrong. So think about it. It's not where you train, it's how you train. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you. That's for everyone in everyday life.
Exactly right.
It doesn't matter what your environment is, but if there's something good, a mentor or something, they're just, you found that click, something that clicked,
stick with it.
I appreciate that.
What are your hours for the gym?
Monday through Friday from 5 to 8.
Everybody welcome, or
anybody's welcome. I don't care. Anybody's welcome. Come on in, and we'll figure it out, man. If we got to do elbow to elbow workouts, we're gonna do elbow to elbow workouts. I want to have. This is a place where the kids that can come in, and some and adults too, if you'd like. You know, come in with your kids, and I have the same thing. You know, they come in with their kids and work out, and be a part of your kids' life and what they do, because you can't be a part of their life when they're out there running with the gangs, unless you want to run with them. So you think about
it. Very true.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah, I think that's there it is. Another successful heist. Won't be the last time, Coach. Once again, I appreciate it. If you're watching this, however you're doing it, just keep striving. Well.